The lesson for day one teaches us that sometimes life is unfair. The children of Israel are slaves in Egypt, a reading from Exodus 1, verses 6 through 10. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." When life is unfair, God is good. A reading from Nahum 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God. And then, dear brothers and sisters, in Christ's grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you see there, we have the five lessons laid out for you with the various themes that we are leading the children in this year for VBS. When life is unfair, scary, when life changes, when life is sad, and when life is good, it is important that we always remember the goodness of God. You'll also notice that we have the lessons about the children of Israel and then another verse. That verse is that theme verse for the day. So it's just a little introduction to help you kind of understand how we're leading the children this week. But as we reflect on unfairness and the goodness of God, I immediately started thinking of C.S. Lewis, who you might recognize is the author of the books, The Chronicle of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, stuff like that. He also wrote another great book called Mere Christianity. And he begins talking about morality, right? So good from bad, fair versus unfair. It seems that every human being has deep inside of them this understanding of what is fair and what isn't fair. It's not fair for you to just take something from me. It is fair to receive justice for something. This is where he leads as an author. And what he's really emphasizing is that what God has done is that God has shown us what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, what is fair and unfair. And as we look at this reading from Exodus, this is a huge example of something that is extremely unfair. So this all starts all the way back with Joseph, when the children of Israel were not the children of Israel. They were just a big family. And it had come about that Joseph, you might remember him and the play with him in his Technicolor dream coat, but that's not the focus of Scripture. Focus of Scripture is that Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery. And which, you know, if you ever pick on your siblings, I don't think they'll ever be as bad as selling them into slavery. And so he is sent then to the land of Egypt, where God uses him. And God uses him to interpret the dreams of the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's been having these dreams that have been bothering him. Joseph tells the Pharaoh, "Your dreams mean that your nation will go through 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine." And the Pharaoh is just blown away. This is it. This is finally the interpretation of all these things that have been plaguing me. And then lifts up Joseph to help him go through all of this. Obviously, there's something special about this guy. He has been sent from somewhere to help us. And so Joseph is exalted in the land of Egypt, where he helps them by using those 7 years of plenty to deal with those 7 years of famine. But Egypt isn't the only nation that's suffering from this famine at the time, because it seems that everybody else around them is too. So Joseph brings his family over to Egypt. And that's where we get to the beginning of Exodus, where they are great in the land of Egypt. But Joseph and his generation die off. And as the reading said, a new king arose. Well, we call those kings pharaohs in Egypt, right? And this new pharaoh rises up and sees all of these Hebrews and says, "There's too many of them. There's too many of them, and they're not weak people. If they wanted to, they could rise up and overthrow us." And so when he says, "Let's deal shrewdly with them," it's more, let's make them slaves. Let's oppress them. That is unfair. These are the people, it's a nation inside of the nation of Egypt that have loved and served this nation of Egypt, even though they are foreigners. They are here loving and serving the people, helping them, but now they are harshly oppressed. That is unfair. But yet, as we reflect on sin and on the realities that we deal with in life, sin is a pretty unfair thing as well. We have been given the curse of sin, even though we might not deserve it. We see the innocence of a child, a newborn baby, and they are suffering from the curse of sin as well. And that's not fair. And it's not fair that there's nothing that we can do to get rid of this curse of sin. And even further than that is the problem of death. And there's nothing we can do to get rid of that problem of death. And that's unfair. What's even more unfair is how our God has come to us and taken this from us. Christ, who is perfect and good and holy and righteous, and any name that you can think of to attribute to him, he is all in all, right? And it is unfair that he takes our punishment for sin. It is unfair that he dies our death. But yet it is in great love that he does this for us. When we have been dealt with unfairly, when we have been given things unfairly, God is good. And his goodness shines from the cross that has given us salvation, that has not thrown us away or cast us out, but has loved us and made us his children. And that's not fair. But God in his goodness has done it for us. Let us continue with the second lesson from Scripture.
The lesson for day two teaches us that sometimes life is scary. In Exodus chapter 7 through 11, we read how God sends plagues to the land of Egypt. When life is scary, God is good. A reading from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, you might be like me, and you enjoy going to scary movies, but in reality, if we were placed in scary situations, it probably wouldn't be something that we would get any enjoyment out of. In fact, we as humans go out of our way to avoid terrifying and scary things. We do so many things to make sure that we are safe and secure. There's nothing wrong with that, because fear is something that we as humans do not want to deal with. So what do we do when we are faced with real terror? And that's where we go to God and his goodness and rely upon him. As Tucker told us, and unfortunately it's a long reading, so that's why it's not included this morning, but you can read it in the book of Exodus if you're curious. As Tucker told us this morning, God displays his power in 10 plagues that he sends to Egypt. God's power is a terrifying and scary thing. We read that God shows his power as he turns the Nile River to blood. He causes frogs to cover every inch of land. He brings a cloud of pestilent gnats. He brings a swarm to afflict the livestock. He causes people to suffer from awful boils and sores. He causes a terrible storm of lightning and hail. He sends a terrible swarm of locusts to destroy. He brings darkness on the land. And then finally, God shows his terrifying power as he sends death to the firstborn. God in his power is a scary thing. The 10 plagues show us just how powerful he is, the power that he has over creation. An interesting thing is that each one of these plagues is almost a direct attack on the Egyptian gods. His power is real. It is not some idle thing that people worship. It is real. But yet, even in the midst of this terrifying power, God is good. And as God has shown power to the people of Egypt, he did so because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. But yet we also read in Exodus that he preserves his people. They do not suffer from the boils and sores. They do not, their livestock do not suffer from the swarms. Their firstborn are not taken from them. In the midst of God's scary, terrifying power, his goodness is there for his people. And as Tucker also read for us from Psalm 23, we see continually of God's goodness and love through the midst of all dark things. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for God is with us. He comforts us. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. His power is there for us. And in the terrifying day of judgment that Christ experienced for us, the full power and scariness and terror of God was placed upon Jesus so that it would not be placed upon us. Death holds Jesus, not us. And as Jesus rises from the grave, we are all given that goodness and that life, as the power of God now exists there to show us just how truly he loves us, not to terrorize, not to scare, but to show us his goodness. We see this especially in the cross. And now we continue with our third lesson. When life changes, God is good.
The lesson for day 3 teaches us that sometimes life changes. We read beginning in Exodus chapter 12 how the children of Israel enter the wilderness and wander there for 40 years. When life changes, God is good. A reading from Psalm 106 verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord? Or fully declare his praise. Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what's right. Blessed are those. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share the joy of your nation and join the inheritance in giving praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, the favorite joke for many Lutherans is how much we hate change. But let's be honest, no one likes change. We like to be comfortable. We like to settle into one spot and live a good and quiet life. And to enjoy a good and quiet life means that things aren't changing all of the time. We are also told sometimes that we need to change. And when we're told that we need to change, we immediately get on the defensive. I don't need to change. You need to change. Shut up. You can't tell me what to do. We get so defensive and put up a wall. But the problem is that change is inevitable. Everything happens in this life. And it happens without our notice, and things happen without our planning, and it just changes on us and just comes at us from nowhere. Death can hit us at any second. We could get in a car accident, and life changes because of that. We could lose our jobs. Something could happen and we lose just everything A fire could start in our homes. Change can happen at any second. And so what do we do to prevent our anxiety and worry from getting the best of us when we worry about all the change of life? And then how do we lead everyone else to rely on God as well, as we ourselves are called to do, so that when life does change, we can say that God is good? And as we look at the history of God's chosen people, we see them dealing with change, but we don't see them dealing with it very well at all. They're actually not a good example of how to deal with change. The Israelites are led out of Egypt by Moses. They go through the Red Sea. They're led to Mount Sinai. They receive the Ten Commandments. They receive the tabernacle where they are able to meet with God. They receive many more laws, as we see in the book of Leviticus. But then we get to the book of Numbers. And Numbers is bookended by a census, the first generation and the second generation. And in between those two generations is complaining. Non-stop complaining. These children of Israel whine about anything and everything they could because they don't like the change that they have to go through. But regardless of what God is doing for them, they continue to complain. They have food, they have drink, their clothes are not wearing out, their feet are not swelling as they are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God provides for them. But yet, they cry out, they whine, they complain. They forget that they cried out to God to help them and save them from Egypt, as we read in Numbers that they are saying that it was better for them in Egypt. It's crazy when we look at it, but we are no different. We complain about every little change there is in our lives because we don't like it. We do like to live that comfortable life where we can simply enjoy. But yet, change being inevitable, what do? We go to God. God has shown us his goodness, as we have reflected twice already. He has shown us his goodness in the cross and in the empty tomb that has given us life. But what about in the day-to-day world? And in our lives, we realize that while our lives change, our God is unchanging, which is a very good thing. That means that his love for us is not changing. That no matter what, he loves and adores each and every single one of us. That he has died to set us free, and that is not changing. We are free indeed because of the love that God has shown us. And as we live in the life that God has given to us, as we deal with things that sometimes it feels like we're always changing, we rely upon God and his goodness that never changes. Let us continue now with lesson 4. When life is sad, God is good.
The lesson for day 4 teaches us that sometimes life is sad. Jesus dies and comes back to life, a reading from Acts chapter 2. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. When life is sad, God is good. A reading from Psalm 34. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Things being unfair, scary, things changing, these are all realities that we all are familiar with, but we're all also very familiar with sadness, especially as we deal with the pain of death. And it's certainly not new. Death is our oldest enemy, has been a part of the problem of life ever since day one. As we reflect on the death of Jesus, it's a strange feeling. We gather together in that Holy Week, calling that Friday good, when it is indeed not a very good day. It is a sad day. It is a day of mourning, of weeping. It is not a day where we celebrate Jesus being tortured and killed. It's not a day where we are happy that Jesus is abandoned by his friends and crucified by his own people. But it is a day of God's goodness, where our place on the cross is taken by Jesus. And our celebration, our sadness, is turned to joy when we gather together on Easter morning, knowing that the goodness of God shines through even the sad things. And the hope that we have into the future is that death is swallowed up in victory and tears are dried from our eyes. Yet as the pain of life is still present, as we still deal with sad things, as we see many things which break our hearts, God is still very present and still very good, and especially is here for us. The great joy that I have for VBS, the reason that we change our worship space, the reason that we gather together and do different worship styles, the reason that people give of their own time to not only decorate but to lead children during this week, is for this gospel message of great sadness that has given us great joy, to know of God's salvation, to know of God's death, to know of God's resurrection, all given to us who do not deserve it, but are given to us out of his love and his mercy and his grace. That we have this, it turns our sadness into joy. We as Christians, as we gather together for funerals, still mourn as everyone else mourns. But our hope holds us up and keeps us strong, because we know that in the goodness of God, our sadness will someday turn to joy. The frowns will turn to smiles as we know of God's goodness, of the life that he has blessed us with. Let us then continue with the final day, lesson 5. When life is good, God is good.
The lesson for day 5 teaches that sometimes life is good. The children of Israel build a memorial to remember God's goodness to them. A reading from Joshua chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. When life is good, God is good." A reading from Nehemiah 4:14. "After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And that final day of VBS, when life is good, God is good. It's all about being thankful. As Nancy reminded the kids this morning, there's that great phrase out there that I love hearing. Someone says, God is good, and the other person replies, all the time. I love that phrase. It reminds us of the goodness that God has shown to us, even in the hard parts of life. When things are unfair, when things are scary, when they change, when they're sad, it doesn't matter. God is always good, and His love is always there for us. What I love from that reading from Joshua today is the question, what do these stones mean? And it's the same question that I ask you today. What do these bricks mean? What do these stones mean? What does that metal hanging upon the wall mean? These are all reminders for us of God's goodness, of His grace, of all the things that He has done for us. These bricks and mortar are constructed and put together to the glory of God, so that we might live in the goodness and reflect on His goodness, gather together in His goodness, but very importantly, that we always remember to go out sharing His goodness. It is simply metal that hangs upon that wall. And the special thing about it is that it is put into a cross pattern. But that for us is a constant reminder of the love that God has shown to us. This is how we know that God is good. Finding ways to remember how God has loved us, how He has called us out of darkness, how He gives us life. But now we need to live as thankful people. We need to live as those who constantly are reflecting and celebrating the goodness of God. So what does that look like? It's not that we're doing it so that we can say to others that we're more privileged than they are. We have God's love and you don't, as to make them jealous or something like that. We don't live thankfully so that we can say that or show God that we love Him more than anybody else. We don't construct buildings like this beautiful church so that we can say that we're better. We do this to live as thankful people, providing the gifts of God to the world, showing His love through our own lives. The people of Israel thanked God by erecting a monument to always find a way to remember God's goodness to them. And it is the same here. But as thankful people, let us also remember what we have been called to do. That it is not only to this monument that we have constructed here that we are called to be thankful, but in every aspect of our lives, to remember the goodness of God, to give thanks to Him. When things are unfair, when they are scary, when things are sad, it is important for us to remember that God is always good and to live thankful of that goodness. And as Matthew 28 has called us to go and make disciples, it is in the goodness of God and in the commands of God that we go out as thankful people, giving our time, our energy to things like VBS so that we might welcome in children and teach them about the goodness of God. Because what do those children do with that message? They take it home. They share it to their families. They bring it with them everywhere they go. They learn of God's goodness and love for them in their daily lives. And dear friends, let us remember and reflect that, yeah, this is just 1 week out of the year for us. We must remember to be thankful daily, to reflect on God's goodness, maybe even hourly, to know of the love that He has given to us, that it's not just a one-time thing, but that we are constantly living as thankful people. As we go out into the world and show God's goodness to all those people that have been placed around us, living as thankful people, thankful for His mercy and salvation, thankful of the life that He gives us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.